Welcome to the Way of the Womb podcast. My name is Beck, I'm your host, and I'm a trauma-informed holistic birthing doula, womb worker, and earth lover. I am here to support you and all womb owners, whether that's through your monthly cycles and navigating the everyday, or whether that's to support your journey through the rite of passage of pregnancy and birth. My passion is to support souls to come home to themselves, so you can connect back to your innate power, your intuition, and the wisdom of your body, so you can feel empowered and live your truth. On this platform, we will be discussing periods, pregnancy, plant medicine, birth, trauma, mental health, spirituality, earth to body connection, and everything in between. This is a place for conscious souls to gather, so that together we can heal, thrive, and live authentically, unapologetically as ourselves. This is the Way of the Womb podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm really excited today. I think I say that every time I come on the podcast, but I'm really excited today because I have my beautiful, amazing friend on, Nadia from The Holistic Way. Nadia, thank you so much for coming on.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yay! So we've been trying to do this podcast for ages and we chat pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And we do like support each other with our work and our businesses. But actually to sit down and do a podcast, apparently it's taken us months somehow, but we finally got it in.
We're finally here.
So Nadia, just to start off, would you mind telling the listeners a little bit about you, what it is you do, and yeah, how you show up in the world?
Brilliant. Yeah, thanks for having me on. So my name is Nadia May. Like you said, I'm the founder of The Holistic Way, and I am a life coach, healer, and yoga teacher. So my work is very much coming from a holistic standpoint. So working with the mind, so focusing on mindset, using tools like NLP, the subconscious mind, the body, so working with the physical, and then also the spirit. So you can really kind of think about ancient wisdom and philosophies combined with modern psychology. And what I really do is just help people step into what it is that they really want to do and who they want to be. So it usually looks like stepping into your authentic self, living in alignment with your soul's purpose, whatever that means to you, which I know we're going to dive deeper into. And then hosting events, you know, still bringing my yoga practice to people and retreats that will be coming, events. So that's me in a snapshot.
Amazing. Oh my God, so many beautiful gifts to offer. Thank you. And so when you're supporting people to live in alignment with their authentic self and step into their, you know, I don't know if you use the word purpose, but to step into their purpose or in alignment with their soul's path, mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? What does purpose mean to you? What does being authentically yourself mean to you, or authentically in alignment mean to you?
Okay, so I mean, I think it's a loaded question, isn't it? Like we could probably spend hours kind of unraveling all of that. And for me, purpose, it's forever changing. So I don't believe that we have this one soul thing that we are on this earth to do. And it's this tangible thing that's just like, if you're not doing that, then you're not in alignment. It's more about who you're really being. So coming back into your authentic self, it's almost shedding all the layers of conditioning, and instead of operating from the ego, allowing yourself to be more soul-led throughout your life. And your purpose can show up in different ways. It will constantly kind of be moving and evolving, but essentially it's almost just like, what are your gifts? What is, you can say that you're not special. We're all just human and no one's better than anyone, but we all have something special within us, something that's unique that I believe you can say it's our duty in a way to kind of offer that to the world and to be of service in some way where it brings you joy, but it also will add to the world, to people's lives, whether it's just immediate family or it's on a much bigger scale, whatever that looks like. So yeah, that's how I would kind of summarize purpose.
Yeah, beautiful. And you know, I hear so much like friends and family really aspiring to be in this place where they can live in their purpose, or, you know, actually just to know what their purpose is.
Yeah.
Why do you think it seems like, I mean, I don't want to just say, oh, it's just women, but I feel like it seems to fall quite heavily that women struggle to come to this place where they understand their authentic self and their purpose. Mm. So, and I'm sure it affects men as well, or those who don't identify as either. But in my experience, I guess I've heard a lot more women having this journey and on being on this path of trying to find their purpose.
Yeah.
What do you think stops women from, not stops women, but, you know, it might be more tricky for women to come to a place where they know what their purpose is. Why do you think that could be?
Yeah, good kind of insight, really. It does tend to be a lot of women, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think from my experience, just from the women that I've worked with, talking for myself, the women that I've been surrounded by, it usually comes from like this very kind of spiritual and feeling led place where, you know, a woman can kind of, you can go to work, you can go through the motions, but often you're then kind of left feeling like, I don't feel fulfilled. This isn't what I want to do.
I'm depleted.
Yeah, it feels like there's something more. And I don't necessarily know why it's more women than men. Maybe these particular women are more in their feminine, like more in their kind of yin energy. Because it would be interesting actually to view it if a woman is more in her masculine and very like pitter and fiery and driven, if she kind of would struggle with that same feeling of just like, well, what is my purpose? Like, you know, the typical like go get a, go out there, do what it is you want to do. And you need some of that energy, of course, to drive you forward and to live it and bring it into fruition. I couldn't give you a sole reason, to be honest.
I guess there's so many different elements to it, isn't there? And, you know, I guess if the listeners, whoever is here listening, is probably on the spiritual path or has some kind of understanding of consciousness and self-reflection and self-awareness. But for, I guess, a lot of people, I'm thinking that are in kind of more societal norms, I guess.
Yeah.
I hear this story so commonly of women, you know, really striving to work this kind of 9-to-5 life where they don't really feel happy, living for their holidays, like living this mindset that we've really been sold as this is what you're meant to do with your life. And it's like, yeah, it's just come down to cultural norms and societal conditioning and things as well, because, you know, I feel there's so much pressure on women to know, or if you don't know, then you just have to do this 9-to-5 and that's the structure that it should be for everyone or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
I think it's both for men.
Yeah.
I don't know if men just maybe get on with it a bit more, where it's just, if you look at typical society norms, where it's just like, okay, maybe they're getting paid X amount, you know, it's a, you've got the status and you're kind of looked on fondly by your peers or by society, and you're typically the provider for your household. Yeah. Let's just say that's how it would typically be. So I would probably say it's more the conscious path, or when people kind of start to come into some sort of spiritual awakening, that's where I usually see the change, as opposed to it being very male, female, or based on gender so much. I think women tend to feel more, or generally have access to their emotions. I'm being quite blanket termed here and quite stereotypical, but generally, when we kind of look at that, you might have a conversation with your friends where, you know, we'll sit together and be like, you know what, I'm not really happy in this job. Like, I don't feel like the men that I know wouldn't necessarily come to their peers and groups of friends and be like, I just don't feel fulfilled. I'm not really being of service. It's just like,
yeah.
I'll fucking get on with it. This is what I do. Yeah, it's a bit long. Like, okay, yeah, long hours. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Whereas women, if you're a bit more expressive and you can kind of really feel into, I feel like I'm made for more. I feel like I'm not using all of my skills, and I feel kind of boxed in. And you might start to voice that a little bit more, or find online platforms or communities where you can maybe play witness to that. I feel like there's a lot, you even see it in the coaching space, there's a lot of coaches for women. And I don't necessarily say that I am a coach just for women. Most of my clients will be women, but I think this is needed for everyone, regardless of your gender, your sex, or what you identify as. So yeah, I feel like it's a bit more where you are on your journey.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. Yeah, thank you for that shift in perception. Yeah, so true. And it's interesting that when we look at people's like journeys, or you speak to people that are now doing something that lights them the fuck up, whether that's the, in their job or just their everyday life. And it's like, oh, how did you get there? And for some people, it's like this slow unfolding. For some people, it's like this one day I just woke up and was like, fuck now. And it was like this awakening of the very powerful, intense, short, sharp, rapid kind of shifts.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like sometimes a slow unfolding of, oh no, I don't think this is it, or let me try this, or let me, you know, like a kind of trial and error. So yeah. I wondered, what, how did you come to find your purpose? What was your path that got you to where you are now?
If we can try and put it in a linear term, I mean,
yeah, your spiral that got you here.
I was kind of one of those people, I think we spoke about this before, where you're like, what is my purpose? Like, what am I here to do? There has to be. And ultimately it came from me not being happy with where I was or what I was doing. And these feelings coming up of like, I'm made for more, and I kind of want to be of service in a way. I don't really know what it is that I want to do. And I had this kind of perception that it should just be this one thing. And I remember doing all the kind of esoteric stuff, which I'm completely interested in anyway, but you know, like getting your palm read, or just kind of seeking psychics and spiritual teachers and things like that. And it was just kind of like, you're always wanting to know more about yourself. Yeah. And sometimes you can place that power in other people to almost tell you what you should be doing, because it's just easier, isn't it? It's kind of,
give me this like A, B, C, D, step-by-step guide, and then I'll just tick all the boxes and then I'll be happy.
Yeah. So it's way easier to think, okay, there's this one thing, can't really figure it out. Maybe someone else can tell me what this one thing is. And I think I believed for a while that there was this one thing, because I was so unsure of what I wanted to do in life career-wise. Let's just talk about career for the sake of it, and with my journey as well. I was very, just unsure, very unsure. And from a young age, it was never this one thing that I was just like, this is what I want to do. I always knew that I kind of wanted to work for myself. I always knew that I was very independent, that freedom was important to me. And I knew my values in that sense, which I think is the main thing you need to understand about yourself. And it was almost just like, okay, well then how do I kind of slot into society then? Because what I'm witnessing is everyone that I kind of know is working this 9 to 5. And it's not to say there's anything wrong with a 9 to 5.
Yeah.
You're doing something that you love.
Absolutely. Great.
It's a lot of fucking perks. It's a lot easier sometimes, you know when your money's coming in, you've got your holiday pay. If you're sick, we don't get that as, you know, small businesses or being self-employed. And I think it was this whole thing of like, well, how does that fit in then? Because it was very much this awakening, this realization of the matrix, we can say. Mm-hmm. And this isn't how I want to live my life. But then I was just like, but then what do I do? How do I go about that? Like, what is it that I want to be doing? Like the job that I have at the moment, I'm really good at it. I'm getting headhunted. I can easily move through up the ladder in different places. And I was like, I don't mind it, but I don't love it. It's not bringing me joy. Eventually I kind of got to a point where I did a lot of traveling. I lived abroad, moved to different countries. And whenever I would come home, I just wouldn't feel fulfilled or happy, or this was what I was meant to be doing. So it was very intuition led, a lot of self-work, a lot of unraveling, shadow work, dark night of the soul happening in like 2016, yeah. These realizations, feeling alone, alienated, and just figuring out myself. So it came from a real understanding of, well, who is Nadia? What does she enjoy? What's important? What do you like? Okay, explore that. So say I had a calling and it was just like, you need to go to India and just submerge yourself in the land, the philosophies, yoga. And it was just like, then all of these beliefs came in. It was just like, oh, well, I'm not good enough. And oh, I'm not as flexible as this person, or I can't do a handstand, or this or that. And it, for me, it wasn't even about going to become a yoga teacher. It was explore that for yourself, because you're interested in this. You love this. This is what you watch. This is what you read about. This is part of your life. This is like, I've been on the self-development journey since I was 17. So it's a good 16 years. It's not a fad. I haven't just had an awakening and it's been a year. This is part of my life. Mm-hmm. So it was following my intuition and my curiosity and my nudges. And I'm like, even being in a relationship, a lot of people were kind of like, well, you can't just go and do that. Like, you can't just go and leave your man for 3 months. And it was like, again, society's kind of projections coming onto me. And I think when I was just like, nah, fuck that, this is what I'm going to do, and took my power back. Not that I'd given it away, but just to really stand within my truth and know myself. And it was just like, no, if I don't do these things, I'm going to have resentment or regret. And that's one thing that I'm like, don't live from that place.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love what you've said about, I'm not going there to do it to just become a yoga teacher. When I went to India, it's like, I'm going to do it because I love it and it's for me and I just enjoy it. I think there's so much in that, that, you know, we think, oh, whatever I love, I have to go and do it. I have to make money off it, or I have to get something out of it, rather than it just being the joy and the pleasure of doing the thing. It's like, how is this going to support me in other areas of my life? Like, whether it's financially or whatever. So I love that. And I love that, reclaiming the power. Like, yes, obviously, I'm always like, fuck it, let's do it. Go and do the thing.
I remember coming back from India and talking to Guruji, so my philosophy and meditation teacher, and I was like, I just don't know what to do with my life. And he was like, Nadia, the answer is yoga. You need to teach. And I was like, okay, all right. Started up my little classes, hired a hall in a community center, was just like, okay, I'm going to print my flyers, I'm going to get it out. Because another thing as well, it's been so multi-passionate in, it all kind of comes under this umbrella of wellness and, you know, holistic approaches to life and really people, but I knew that I didn't want to maximize on, say, working 45 hours a week teaching yoga, because it's something that I enjoy, it's something that I still want to offer to people, but I never want to get to a point where what I love feels like how work used to feel. Yes. So it's for me kind of restructuring what work looks like and what success looks like and how you can kind of have control over that and still draw from your purpose and deliver it and offer it. If you want to do 50 hours a week, then do it, doing one thing. But I know for me, there's lots of different ways to help empower people to work through limitations, to bring wholeness, that it wasn't just one modality that I was offering and exhausting myself and then being reliant on that for my income and then being resentful and then be like, do you know what? I don't even want to practice yoga for myself anymore.
Yes. So true. I love that. I love, yeah, how the journey is, I guess, still unfolding as it is for all of us. We never like get to this one point and go, right, that's it, I'm here. No, it's like this ever unfolding,
isn't it?
Ever unfolding journey. And for someone, you know, you said that, you know, one of the most important things for you was finding your values.
Mm-hmm.
How would you support someone, or how would you kind of guide someone to be able to find their values. And if someone's listened to this and like, well, what do you mean by that? Like, how do I find my values? How would you explain that? Do you have kind of a modality of teaching or something that would support people to get to that place of being like, okay, now I know that these are my values?
Yeah, so it's something that I would work with, if even just kind of going over or getting clear with a client, you know, what do you value? So it's just, if I ask you now, what is important to you?
The earth.
Yeah.
Pregnant women, birth, love, connection, self-awareness.
Yeah. So all of these beautiful things, it's just really figuring out, okay, what is important to me? What do I care about? What could I, and if you find that difficult, just having a back and forth conversation of like, okay, well, what do you actually not give a shit about? Like, our values start to creep in that way. And that's going to change, you know, if you go on, if you have relationships, family, all different points throughout our life, your values are going to change because you're constantly evolving and you're becoming a new version of yourself, aren't you? You know, maybe now you're becoming a mother or a grandmother or whatever it is. So it's about getting very clear on what is important. What's important to you? What are staple things within your life or within your relationships that are almost like fundamental and you're not willing to compromise on them?
Yeah, so, starting at the roots, starting at the core of it and building from there. That makes so much sense. When you say it aloud, I'm like, well, obviously that's where you start. But it's like, you know, when you're in it or having the experience, like I know I didn't have support when I was trying to find, you know, what it was that I wanted to do in the world. And I really wish that I'd had someone to support me through that journey, actually, because, you know, it's massive. It's so massive. And as you say, yeah, it's constantly changing. But if you're really feeling like I was, and like, I know you've had the same experience of, nah, this isn't it. There's something more. This doesn't make sense. I don't want to live this same day every day and call it a life, and, you know, but not knowing where to start and being like, how the fuck do I even navigate this? And then also the fear.
Yeah,
that comes up around it. So that's another piece I wanted to speak to as well. What things do you think, so say if someone is listening to this and they have their purpose, like, yes, I know this is what I want to do, but there's things coming up that is stopping them from doing it, what are the most common ones that you see that stop people from stepping into where they want to be?
So the most, I mean, you can look at external and internal, for the most common things. So externally, it may be people are relying on you and you can't be taking big risks, or maybe you just don't have time. You know, you've got family, you've got commitments, you're working crazy hours. These things may be stopping you from doing what it is that you want to do. Money is a big one. You know, we live in the UK, times are hard, and it's, if you've got commitments, that's going to really hinder your approach and maybe even stepping into that. So that was what I would say externally. Internally or within self, so the biggest things that I see that stop people is lack of confidence, which can also come under imposter syndrome. So I think we hear that buzzing around quite a lot. It tends to be quite a, I think most people are quite familiar with this term, but almost this sense of like, I don't know enough. Who am I to do this? I'm a fraud. Certificate chasing, which I did for a while. So many certificates, but I loved it. I'm a learner. I love learning. I love teaching, but I'm constantly learning. So, but it can be very easy to get caught in that loop and that treadmill of like, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do that. Or I don't know enough. So I need to do, I need to have, you know, the degrees and this and that. And it's like, you don't need that half the time to really just share from that place of your truth. Fear of judgment. So a lot of people will say fear of being seen. Kind of putting yourself out there, but it's you know, it's not necessarily a fear of being seen as because you would hide otherwise, when you wouldn't come out of your house, you wouldn't walk down the street, like, don't look at me. Like,
it's what people perceive when they do see you. It's there, what it means about you to be seen.
Yeah. So it's this judgment piece of like, oh, what are people going to think about me? What are they going to say? How are they going to perceive me? And that's a huge one. And I think I was extremely shy when I was younger. I mean, if you kind of knew me, first meeting me, I was very shy, but then with my people, it was just, yeah, fine. But having to overcome these blocks and be like, okay, put myself out there, let me step into my confidence. And you only do that by doing something. You know, you can try and think, oh, I need to become a confident person first, but it's like a muscle. You only exercise that confidence by doing it. Mm. I think we spoke about this the other day, actually, where there's always going to be something that you have to do for the first time. And yes, it will be scary. Yes, there will be fear, but it's changing your relationship to fear. So if it's like, okay, this feels scary, but I do kind of want to do that, and I want that for my life and myself, lean into the fear, into the discomfort, the unknown. That's a big thing as well. A lot of people they want to know what is on the other side.
Don't we always were so taught to, yeah, that we should know, or that we want to try and work out, we want to have that control. Like, I see it in the birth world all the time. Yeah. But, you know, constant scans, monitoring, let's see what's going on, because we can't accept that we just can't know everything.
Yeah,
we just can't. And it's such an uncomfortable place for people to be in. So yeah, I imagine that being a massive, massive piece. And I guess, yeah, just reflected on my journey, actually, it's like the unknown was a place that I felt safe in. Interestingly, but the imposter syndrome, the lack of confidence, that was definitely fucking there. That was definitely there.
I think it's the biggest one for people. I think especially spiritual-led entrepreneurs or business owners or people that are kind of bringing that to the table. Yeah. Imposter syndrome and this expression piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big one. It's a big one for people like us.
Absolutely. And it's so normal as well. Like, so just how did you normalize it?
How did you overcome that, like, with your own journey? If I doubt there's one single thing, but if you can think about maybe ways that you kind of propelled through it, or any.
So this is one pivotal time that really sticks in my mind. And I remember I'm not the type of person who will be like, oh, I think I'm going to sit with this and see how it goes. I'm like, nah, I'm not in. I'm out. And I know you're a bit like that as well. We actually just had this talk before we started recording the podcast. But being working on the yachts, and I was in the south of France. I was working doing massage and yoga and doulaing on the yachts. And came back to the yacht and was like, don't want to work here anymore. Resignation done that day. I was like, that's it, I'm out.
You're like, I'm out.
Yeah, bye, Felicia. And went straight to stay with one of my colleagues, has a home in the south of France, in Antibes. Mm. And I went and I stayed in her flat. I was like, I'm going to start my own business. You know, everyone's like, all right, I know you probably fucking will as well. Yeah. But I was like, yeah, I'm just going to do it. So I was like, okay, what can I do? Made an Instagram, made a Facebook, started bashing all this stuff on. Obviously, it's not anything like it was then. Like, yeah. Now, like it is now, it was so different. But I remember sitting in front of the camera and being like, this is what people do. People sit and record videos themselves and talk about what they do. So I'm going to do it. I think I sat there.
You just jumped straight in.
Me, I sat there for about fucking 6 hours. Can't tell you how many videos I recorded. Literally just like a minute. To go on Instagram stories, you know, them four little slides, 15 seconds each. Mm. About 6 hours. I cried, got really angry, and then was like, what have I done with my life? I've quit the yacht and I've quit my job. The only thing I know, left my home because I lived on the boat and I can't even fucking look at a camera and speak.
Yeah.
Who the fuck am I? Who am I to do this? Like, all of them stories. And I just remember how raw it felt in that moment and being like so overwhelmed and being like, why would anyone look to me? Why would it be? Yeah, there's so many amazing coaches and healers and doulas and people doing all similar work that I'm doing out there. Like, why would people pick me? Yeah. And I was working with Dr. Sarah Coxon at the moment, at that moment, and going to one of her circles and just having like a really deep process of acknowledging that actually I hadn't really ever allowed myself to be seen or heard. And I was so terrified of what people would think of me, which in everyday life I'm not. I'm like, if you don't like me, I'm like, all right, see you later. But for some reason on social media, it was different. And I literally just had to sit and I had to feel it and I had to just do the fucking thing anyway.
Yeah.
And it was like, the more I practiced it, the more I got more confident at it, the more I was just like, then just brought like this childlike energy. I was trying to be like so professional and serious instead of being like, oh, I get to play with this, actually gets to be fun.
Yeah.
And then everything got a little bit more fun. Then I started laughing at myself. And I remember I used to go and sit in front of the camera and I don't even wear makeup anymore, like at all in life. But it's being like, okay, I'll have to do my hair, do my makeup, set up a time, make sure no one's there, set my camera up, make sure the background's nice, and be like, have everything written out what I'm going to say and sit there and everything would be really like, had to be perfect and come across professional. But actually, yeah, I can be all of them things, but that's not authentic to who I am.
Yeah.
I'm like, I really want to say that. I'm like, fuck it. And I'm like, this is happening. Just eating me brekkie. I posted a video the other day with pasty in my hair, eating a sausage roll. And I was like, we've come a long way. We've come downhill. I've gone uphill.
And pasties.
Literally. Pasty in my hair, pastry in my hair. But yeah, it's definitely been a journey of working through that. And it's like you said at the beginning, it's like working that muscle.
Yeah.
And feeling the fear and doing it anyway. But also having to seek support, have someone to hold me, and creating that safety for myself, where actually in their moments where that anxiety comes up or the self-sabotage piece comes up, I can check in with myself and be like, hey, it's okay. Like, it's okay to feel scared. It's okay to feel anxious. But we're going to do this anyway, because I'm going to hold you like my inner back, my little girl. I'm going to hold you with whatever comes up in these stories, because they're not true, but they are just trying to keep us safe, and that's okay. So it really is the inner work, which, yeah, exactly like what you've just said.
Yeah, powerful. I mean, I love that, how you just were literally like, I'm done. Jump straight in. I was going to say jump ship. You literally jump ship.
Literally jump ship.
Jumped off ship. And just went all in.
Literally. Yeah, I feel like I'm a very all or nothing person.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, it just comes to my mind now, you know, people like, I used to smoke for 13 years and people being like, you know, just cut down. I'm like, nah, mate, I either have none or I have 20 a day. There's no fucking in between. Go hard or go home. And being stood outside my ex-boyfriend's back door, and we were stood outside and it was freezing. We were having a ciggy and smoking. I was just like, I'm going to quit smoking tomorrow and I'm going to go vegan. And he was like, he just looked at me and he went, oh yeah. And I was like, yeah. And he went, all right, cool. Dead chilled. And that was it. 6 years. It was just like, yeah, I'm done. It was just like someone flicked a switch.
Yeah. And this is what it is, just deciding. Just decide. That's where it comes from, this first thing. Like, when I remember first traveling to India, and it was the first place I ever traveled by myself. It was just like, something is calling me. I need to go there. So that's before I did my training, like the first time I ever visited. I remember telling my mum, and she was just like, you can do that. And I was like, yeah, I can. And she went, nah. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, you can't go there by yourself. And I was like, yes, I can. And that's what I'm doing. And it was just, I just decided it would be fine, because so many people are like, oh, it's not safe. You know, the men there, this, that, all these stories. So I decided it will be fine. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. And that's that.
Yeah.
And then you take action from it. Same way you were like, I decided I don't want to work on these ships anymore. You could have gone back and forth for weeks or months or whatever and be like, oh, and suppressing that inner voice. But I'm sure something came up within you and it was like, yeah, I need to listen to that and follow it. And I'm deciding that that is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, I don't know if you had this experience as well, but it was almost like it was something external to me, but was coming from a voice internal, but bigger than who I am. Being like, yeah, nah, this isn't it. This isn't the one, mate. Next. And it's, yeah, I wondered what, because we're saying all this and, you know, we can do that and it's amazing if we can do that, but also like, that doesn't feel accessible to everyone. And that's okay, because there's no one that's better or further ahead or, you know, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be like that, because we all can. We just, yeah, do it in different ways. So for the people that might be slightly different to how we experience life, like who might not feel they're able to be like, just make a decision and do it. Because I'm not always like that. I don't know about you, but
same.
For some reason with the big life things, I'm, yeah, like, I'm done. But with the give me a food menu, I'm there for 3 weeks, mate. I've got to study it before I go, because I'm like, what am I having?
Yeah. I'm like, where are we going? I'm just going to have a little look at the menu, see if there's anything that I'll like, and then probably just end up getting the same thing anyway.
Of course. Safety.
Arabiata, please.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I'm getting. I know this territory. I'm not really up for the unknown.
Literally. Unless it's like comes to a massive life decision, then I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel like that. Like, I love change. Mm. And I'm sometimes, if I'm very comfortable and things are kind of, I'll purposely shake things up.
Yeah.
But that's just how I am. And I understand myself enough now to be like, that's where the growth is. That's, you're stagnating, lads. Come on, your environment's not feeling inspiring anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you've outgrown this place and you could ease. I remember thinking, like, in jobs, I think there was one place and the woman had been there for like 10 years. And I was like, how? I was so mind blown. I was just like, but how? I couldn't hold down a job. I think my longest was 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that was because I was kind of tied in, that if I left, I'd have to pay money back. And they shaped me. They offered a lot. The only other job that I stayed in for a long time, it was like a part-time job, and I had so much freedom. It was a casual thing, so I could jump in and out, travel, come back, and then he'd be like, oh, I need you back. And I'd be like, okay. And the only reason that I stayed there is because it met one of my core values, which was freedom and allowing me to kind of do what I wanted to do. I wasn't micromanaged. I was quite senior within that place. So it came back to my core values, but then I could have stayed. But from a higher sense of awareness, I was like, okay, where do you want to be in the next year, 2 years, whatever? Is this it? No.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to cut it off. As much as it's safety, it's nice, it's all right. It's not that bad. Is this going to take you to where you want to go? And your ego is kind of coming into play there, because you have desires. This is usually from a human experience, isn't it? Where you've got desires or wants. And I think a lot of time, especially in spiritual communities, or you've probably gone through it where you've had that time where money's not spiritual, or I shouldn't want for anything and I'm happy to live with the earth and just be, which is great, but I also have ambition and I want success, and I know through money and success I can deliver more to the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's understanding, what do you want? What's important? What do you want?
Yes, absolutely. And would you say that for someone who doesn't know what they want, they can start by knowing what their values are?
100%. Because then that's almost like your compass.
Your inner compass, yeah.
Inner compass where, you know, sometimes it'll be like things just feel a bit off. Or you can meet a person and it'd be like, don't really like the vibe of that person or this. And it's, you know, there's this internal compass that kind of directs you, and you get a sense sometimes of energy in places with people. But I think understanding your values in terms of your life trajectory is key. It's a foundational piece. Like, you have to at least know that about yourself, because I don't know exactly all of the things that I want. Sometimes I'm just like, what is my vision again? I have to keep coming back to it. It's not something that is always there.
Yeah.
I have to revisit.
And it's that human being piece that we can't get rid of, innit?
Yeah. But knowing, it's just like, okay, what is important to me? Okay, it's important that I feel a certain way, that I'm, you know, freedom, being authentic, that I can express myself in a certain way, like love and service is important. Community is really important for me as well. So it's almost just like, if you're doing something and it feels off, you can check back in with your values and be like, okay, that's why it's off.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And just going back to that piece we said before, if someone doesn't feel like they were in a place where they can just decide it'll be fine and make them decisions, but then say someone knows what they want, they know, okay, I'm working towards this, but feel like they can't just make the split decisions there and then to go out and do the thing. Say there's a bit of fear, like self-sabotage potentially coming up as well.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to that person so that they can start taking steps to stepping into that?
To stepping into it. So it kind of depends what it is as well. So if you're, let's say for example, you're clear that maybe you want to speak, you want to do public speaking for instance, but you're like, I'm fucking terrified of standing on a stage, I don't have the confidence, who am I like to do that? But you have this vision, and it might not even make sense to you because you're like, if I'm feeling all these feelings, why is that something I want to do? Okay, so it's not really connecting in that moment, but you know that you want to share, and it'll be like, oh, like where you dream and imagine, that's what I want to do. So if you're, that can feel quite overwhelming, right? When you're like, oh my God, and you can either go into this free state and just do nothing. But developing a sense of awareness is key. So understanding, okay, what is stopping you from where you are to where you want to be? And if you can't figure that out for yourself, then seek support, because someone else can come in, help you bring awareness around a situation, identify your blocks, go deep with identity work, with belief work, and then start to kind of weed out all of those stories and beliefs and fears. But if you're just doing it for yourself, awareness is the first piece. And then just taking one very, very small action a day that's going to push you out of that comfort zone into what it is that you want to do or what you want to be. So if it is a case of, I'm scared to record or go on like a live or show my face on online, for instance, like I think we've all kind of been there. Okay, what's a small step you can take? Can you maybe practice recording yourself without anyone watching, just to kind of get a feel of what that would maybe be like, speaking in front of a camera?
Yeah,
maybe talking to yourself in a mirror. Can you maybe have a close friends group on your Instagram that you're talking to one person? You would probably just jump straight in and be like, fuck it, I'm going live.
I remember my first live, it did not go well, but yeah, that was what I'd done.
So I was like, okay, well, instead of kind of prolonging this, let's just go straight in at the deep end. And I think you often just learn from doing that, just diving straight in. But if that's not your personality type, or you're finding it very, very difficult and you're navigating it by yourself, baby steps towards kind of what it is. It's figuring out what kind of traits, what do I need to become that person?
Yeah. And what would this, like, what would this, the version of myself that's already living it, what would she do right now?
Yeah. And there's ways, you know, within my sessions and things where you can meet your higher self, where we can visit that on a particular timeline and you can meet that next level version of yourself and receive the messages from that place. And she would tell you exactly what you need to do. And then it's just like, armed with that information, how do you take action? it's coming from a growth mindset, and I think you have to really want to, and you have to decide that you're not going to do it. Limitations, beliefs will come up, but the thing is, if you argue for your limitations, you can keep them, because it's quite matter of fact in that sense. If you're constantly going to be someone that's just like, I can't do this because I'm just not that person, then sorry to say, you're gonna stay in that realm. You have to kind of decide that, yeah, that is what I want. It's gonna be hard, might be painful, I'm gonna have to do some work, but yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, it's like that quote, isn't it? What we don't change, we choose.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think there's such a massive part of that. And I realized just from me being like, yeah, I just jumped onto my Instagram live, like, actually, yeah, I did have so much fear to do that. But behind the scenes in the lead up to that, there was so much inner work to get me to a place so I could hold myself to do that in the aftermath of what came up for me.
Yeah.
And like you said, yeah, it comes back to doing the inner work and the self-awareness and the self-reflection. And I just want to speak to self-sabotage just as we begin to wrap up as kind of like the last piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in what ways can self-sabotage come up? Because I know, or can you even explain a little bit about what you believe self-sabotage to mean as well? Because, you know, how do we differentiate self-sabotage from intuition saying, no, don't do this? You know?
Yeah. I mean, self-sabotage, I think when we can kind of change almost like our perspective with it, you can maybe look at it as self-protection. So your self-saboteur, if that's the correct term, is essentially there to keep you safe. Yeah. So if you're used to operating from very like highly stressed emotions, or your body's used to being in that state, then you're naturally always going to go into things. And if you're not kind of feeling stressed or feeling a certain way, and if you start to experience, say, flow and ease, then your self-saboteur can come in and be like, hold on, this isn't what we do. We operate from this space because that's what you've always experienced, especially within your younger years and your more conditioned kind of years. And it will almost throw a spanner in the works to be like, okay, right, let's just shake this up. So you are feeling like highly stressed and this and that, because flow and ease is not what we do. Yeah. We know stress. This keeps us safe. We know this. We know what is on the other side.
It's which kind for of, it's safe.
Yeah. So it's safe because I know it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we do, and we're cool here. We know this territory. We don't have to guess what's on the other side. And it can come up in many different ways. Can you think of ways it's come up for you?
Self-sabotage, absolutely. So for example, a lot of the stuff I post can be quite controversial and triggering for people. And my self-saboteur, if that's how you say it, uses that as an excuse all the time to not post. So it's like, well, don't post because you're going to trigger people, and therefore people are going to think you're a horrible person, or you're this or you're that. So therefore it's not okay to post. And I'm always like, okay, so it's because I don't feel safe. So how can I create safety, and how can I embody the truth that I can't be responsible for how people receive my message? I'm only responsible for how it's delivered.
Yeah.
And actually feel that anxiety, feel that fear, and just go out and post it anyway, because that is the growth mindset rather than this sabotage in peace that constantly has been around for a long time, but still will, the voice isn't as loud, but it still does come up sometimes. And it's like, hey, no, you can't do this. And then I'm have to check in and be like, is this coming from a place of intuition? And this is not good for me. Yeah. Or is this just my ego trying to keep me safe?
100%. Because then what's on the other side of that? You know, you sharing your truth and kind of what it is that you need to put out there, which can be a bit controversial or a bit triggering for some people. What would be the opposite end of the spectrum? You know, you not being authentic, you not speaking your truth, you then posting things or putting things out into the world that are agreeable, and people are going to be like, yeah, that's nice. And you get the likes, and you get, you know, it's that people pleasing aspect as well. So that's a big one.
And then in that as well, it's like, if I'm doing that and showing up from that place, not only am I not serving myself and being true to myself, but I'm also not speaking directly to the people that need the support that I'm offering.
Yeah.
I'm not serving them. So it just kind of has this ripple and this knock-on effect. And if you're not being true to yourself, then you're potentially then not showing up in truth in other scenarios in your life, relationships and things. And it can really have this knock-on effect. That's why it's, you know, you can heal the world by doing the inner work.
Yeah. It's powerful. It will creep in many ways. There'll be procrastination. Yeah. It will be just to please others, this people pleasing aspect, because then you never have to really show up authentically, or you're, like we said, you know, you're dulling yourself, you're shrinking yourself, you're playing small. So many different ways, you know, even if you're someone that's just like, they're always late, or, you know, you're scared to speak, use your voice to express. It's all these sabotaging ways. You said there that you'll tap back into like intuition to be like, okay, is this from a place of intuition that I want to share this or not share this? Have you got any tips for the people listening of what that might feel like?
So the way I differentiate between the self-sabotage piece and the intuitive, I know this isn't good for me, is really within the body. I will try and come back to the body and notice what happens in my body when I bring up, say I want to launch a course, for example. I've just said that I've pulled a face at Nadia because I'm currently in the middle of building a course, and the self-sabotage piece has been coming up a lot, being like, no, don't do this, but it's coming, baby. It's coming. This piece coming up of, okay, how does it feel in my body when I think about this course? And at first it's expansion, and then the fear comes, and then the stories come. So I'm like, okay, if at first it's expansion, then go with that. If it's just absolute like dreaded fear, I'm like, okay, cool, hearing that, honoring that, where is that coming from? Why do I feel that fear? Is this in alignment with my values? Is this in alignment with my truth and how I want to show up and my work? What place am I coming from? Is this coming from a place of ego, or is this coming from a place of service? And really just getting into the nitty-gritty of it and really trying to work out and root where it originated, where it's come from, if it's my own story, if it's something else given to me, and if there's any healing in that for me that I need to work through to then go and post, or if it's just a fucking no.
Yeah.
And honoring that. But I guess it is being really truthful and really honest with ourselves, because even if we go into it and we're like, my intuition is saying, yeah, do it, but then I've got fear, that self-sabotage piece can still come in and be like, no, it's not your intuition, and almost gaslight you in your experience.
It's hard. It can be really hard.
Really hard. And I think it's like practicing that muscle. The more that we come into our body, the more that we listen to our intuition, the more communication we will be able to have access to when we're going to these places of trying to make decisions about our business or how we show up in the world.
Yeah. And fear is not a bad thing. You know, I think we can be so conditioned to be like, okay, I feel scared, fear, bad, don't do. And unfortunately, we're operating so much within our sympathetic nervous system, where we're constantly kind of on edge about trivial shit, right? So our ancestors, it would have been, you know, you're getting hunted, or, you know, there's something actually dangerous, and that mechanism is there to keep us safe. And it's a very important role. And we don't ever want to get rid of that fear because it is there as protection.
Yeah.
But in today's day and age, there's so many small things that can feel like these huge things that can just shut us down.
Yeah.
And then we take a place of no action. But I mean, I'm one for saying if something does feel a little bit scary, if it is quite fearful, lean in and maybe try. And if it's a definite like nah, then okay, you've tried it, unless it's a clear no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
so there'll be certain things, like I don't know, say if even someone invites you to an event and wants you to facilitate or speak or whatever, it might be like, oh, this is so exciting, or like, I know that you're doing Glastonbury this year, and it could be like, oh, Glastonbury, and then it's just like, oh my god, there's so many people, how many people are going to be there? And then fear comes in, and then you could be like, do you know what, actually no, I'm not going to do it. But your first response is like, that's exciting.
Yeah.
If I don't know, there was another event and it was something that's very not in alignment with you, not in alignment with your truth, your authentic self, with your values, if they yeah, I don't know, say a random example, a hospital wanted you to talk about the importance of having regular intervention or something. And they're like, and you've got a big following. Say that you've got a huge following, and they're like, right, we just want to kind of use your platform to get a message out there. And you'd be like, nah, yeah, not doing that. Like, because it's not in a
line. No, for me.
Probably a bit of a poor example, but.
No, it's a good example.
You get the kind of the premise of it, because it's initial like, no, that's not in alignment with who I am. It's like if someone asked me to do something that was just, I want you to do this for Amazon or whatever, and I'm like, I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that you do. And if a brand, for instance, was just like, I want you to be the face of our brand or an ambassador, and it's just like, hold on, your values don't align with mine, it's a no. Or if someone that was just like, we want you to jump on board, and I'm just like, oh, you know, they're a conscious brand, they're all about, you know, helping the planet and being of service, and they're ethical. Yes, everything within me is just like, this is in alignment. But then it could be like, this is scary, so many people, I don't want to do it, back out.
Absolutely.
Your initial gut response can be very indicative in that moment. But absolutely, get to know yourself, whatever that takes. Follow your curiosity, follow your joy, put yourself in different experiences, different situations. Just find out about yourself, really.
Yeah, self-inquiry. Beautiful piece. Thank you for that. And so as we wrap up, if someone's listened to this podcast and is like, I really want to find my purpose, or I want to step into my purpose, or you know, they're on a journey to find it, or whatever it looks like, what would one piece of advice you have be for them?
Kind of what I said just now, really, is get very curious about what potentially brings you joy, or what does bring you joy. And what are your interests? What do you like? What could you talk about? You know, what do you watch? What do you read about? What do you like doing? Understand yourself in that sense. Yeah, almost just how you would with someone else, you know, how you ask questions and so tell me about you. Almost if you apply that to yourself.
Date yourself.
Take yourself on a date, right? And it will lead to your purpose.
I love that. That's so
but yeah, find out what lights you up. What do you care about in the world? What do you want to see in the world? What do you value? What's important? And then work through any of the beliefs or conditioning or anything like that that kind of comes up to decondition so that you can start to live it. So whether that's hiring a coach, a therapist, whatever it is, going to workshops.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
And can you please let everyone know where they can find you?
Yes. So, I mean, my website's currently under construction, so you can find me over on Instagram. So the.holisticway. So the holistic way. It's with a W. And yeah, I usually post kind of what I'm up to there. That's the main platform at the moment. Any events, programs, anything like that will be listed. So yeah, you can drop me a message. I'm always up for a conversation in the DMs. Happy to know who's in the community and just share and come together. And yeah, over on Insta.
Amazing. And do you have any, how can people work with you? Do you have any programs or anything out at the moment?
Yes. So currently I am still offering some single sessions. So they're 90 minute breakthrough sessions. And that's if you're already quite clear on what it is that you're doing, or maybe just need an extra boost. So maybe there's one limiting belief that you feel like you need to overcome and you just need a bit of a rocket, basically. So that would be your 90 minute breakthrough session. I'm in the process of just launching my new 3-month one-to-one program, which is On Purpose with Purpose. So that would be 3 months one-to-one with me. It's totally tailored to you, it's bespoke, so whatever comes up is dealt with. It's very intuitive led, but essentially getting you from where you are to where you want to be, uncovering beliefs, weeding out all of, you know, what no longer serves you, and then getting you on a clear path to where you want to go.
Beautiful. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing so many nuggets of wisdom. So thank you so much.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'll put all Nadia's details in the show notes. Let me know if you have any questions. Drop her a message, drop me a message. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Nadia.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Why of the Womb podcast. If this episode resonated with you, and if you enjoyed this episode, please take a screenshot and share this on your social media. Tag me at Beck Wallace Birthkeeper and drop me a message. Let me know how you found it. And if you feel called, please feel free to leave a review. It just helps other people to find the podcast so that we can build community and gather together. Thanks so much. Sending all the love.